Item number five, from the Pension Obligation Bond Work Group, requesting authorization to tendering existing notes and issue taxable general obligation pension refunding bonds, Series 2013B, for Milwaukee County in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $283 million, providing details, prescribing the form of bond, awarding the bonds, levying taxes, and the related matters.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. An opportunity came up to us regarding this tendering. Milwaukee County has never done a tendering before. Mm-hmm. Basically, what a tendering is where you have the opportunity to take bonds that have no early call date, and in essence, you can buy back those bonds from the bondholders. The opportunity came up because of the sale that we recently did with the pension obligation bonds, the $135 million that was due in December of 2013 that we did last month. And because of the sale price that we got for that and the interest rates that we got from that, J.P. Morgan is currently holding approximately $92 million of the $265 million of bonds that we sold back in 2009. And generally, what you do is once these bonds, the $265 million and the $92 specifically, there was no early call date for any of those bonds. So the only way that, in essence, J.P. Morgan can sell those is by using what is generally the marketplace, and let the marketplace drive that. The unique nature of these is that when the county sold these bonds in 2009, there was not a lot of big market for taxable bonds at that time. In the subsequent years, when the federal government allowed us to issue Build America bonds, which were taxable bonds, and in essence the county gets a rebate back for those, the market became very used to taxable bonds, and they became an item that everybody became familiar with and started to like, and we saw that very much so when we sold the $135 million, and there's a PowerPoint later on that discussion. What the county is asking to do is on this is looking at the entire issuance of the $265 million, and because of the fact that I think the average interest rate for the 265 was around 6.2% for those, the marketplace currently is at a much smaller rate. The rate of interest that the $92 million was bought at was around 3.7%. When we sold in the marketplace the $135 million of bonds, we got that at around 3.28%, and which had a little bit of a longer maturity than these amounts. So based upon that fact that J.P. Morgan bought them at about with an effective rate of around 3.6, 3.7, with a shorter maturity than what we sold ours at, they came to us and said, would you be willing to possibly do a tender offer and you get some savings and we get out of these bonds. So we worked with our bond counsel, we worked with our investment advisor, and we started investigating, and we brought back together the pension obligation bond work group, and we worked with them to say, let's at least look at this issue. So what we're asking for is authority to continue to pursue this item, and what our what we've done on this is that we won't do this unless the county can provide some savings. The initial amount, you know, very early calculations was a savings, at least on the $92 million, of about $3 million for the county. If we decide not to do that, that we can't get the savings, we can't generate any savings at all, then the cost of the county will be $20,000 for this to pay our bond counsel and to pay our investment advisor. So we're asking to get the approval to, maybe Pam can talk about the items that we're trying to get the approval for. I think you're
right. Supervisor Lipscomb has a question.
I think it's a basic question. Yes. And I appreciate, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that the office did reach out, and unfortunately I wasn't able to meet with you before this. So understand that they're not callable, but basically you can tender them if there's a voluntary cooperation, then you can make the transaction work. But so why would the market not reflect this change, and they just mark it down to what they would have to in order to bring the bonds to, you know, yield what the market requires today? How is there enough meat on the bone that it's worth it for them to do this? How do they benefit as well as us? I'm not understanding the economics of that.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, the $265 million bonds, that there's the payment on those is based on a pro rata allocation. And what we're surmising is that the market has some discomfort with how those bonds are to be paid back. And because of that, when you have an uncertainty, then it gets reflected in the price. So with this division of J.P. Morgan that's interested in doing a tendering with us, they're having difficulty moving the bonds because they're not being priced in a manner that will generate savings for them. So because of that, they're basically saying, County, would you be interested in buying these bonds from us? And in between what they think they can get and the low interest rate that we think we can get, there's some savings in there for both of us. And so it's to their advantage because they can't move them on the market right now. And we would then be a good opportunity for them to try to get some earnings on those bonds.
So these bonds were sold with a maturity date of 2024. But when we sold them, we said that we're going to kind of act like they're serial bonds, meaning that each year we're going to take a little bit of away. So because we announced that in the agreement, and we said, I don't know if it's like $3 or $4 million a year, each year we would be paying that off. So the difficulty they're having is saying, well, it says 2024, but they have to give them the warning. But just to let you know, they're going to be taking out X dollars of these each year. And so they're having difficulty in the marketplace with that concept. These bonds were originally sold at 5.93%. When we did the recent sale of the bonds, those bonds for 2024 maturity were approximately 2.8%. When they bought these, it was the reason we kind of looked at this as an option. They're at least going to want to get their money back. Plus, they're going to want probably a little bit extra. Well, they bought at 3.67. So we've got to at least try to make them whole, plus they want a little bit extra to be taken out early, which means that the county has to get enough of a lower rate. You know, if we could get like 2.8, 3, or somewhere in that range, then we would, in essence, try to share that savings in there with them and with us. So, in essence, what you're doing is you're kind of brokering a deal. Mm-hmm. They can't really go in the marketplace and find a ready seller to them in the marketplace, so they're coming back to us and hoping that in the current market we can find, you know, we can get a great rate and share some of that savings with them, and then we get a portion. We won't do this unless we get some savings, too. We don't have to. We're set. We know where our things are at, but if we can get some additional savings back for the county, then we'll try that.
Okay. And you will have to issue more bonds because of the fact that if you're trying to generate the savings, I use an example in there of a $1,000 par amount bond with a 10% interest rate. You still want to get $100 annually for your interest. In order to do that, if interest rates drop, which we are in a lower interest rate environment than we were in 2009, you'd have to sell $2,000 in bonds for example, for a 5% interest rate, the interest rates move from 10% to 5% in order to get that same $100. So in the document here, the county's requesting a not-to-exceed amount of $283 million for those term bonds. And an additional 2024 term bonds, there's also 2028 term bonds that we would like to look at, because since we're being approached, it would make sense to see if there's interest in selling the other bonds as well. So that's okay. Why you have the dollar amount.
I appreciate that explanation. That's much better than my reading last night. So on that last point of the fact that we effectively will issue higher face value in terms of, so that'll be what's reflected on our balance sheet, right, in terms of
yes.
what we've got outstanding. So on a present value basis, debt service is down, and on a present value basis, over the life of these, we make out well. Are we going to find ourselves in a situation where the executive is going to criticize the fact that our debt has gone up? The balance sheet is going to show we're actually incurring more debt. I guess I'd like to see where hear from the administration that we're going to recognize the benefit of this and not the talking point that we've gone out and actually issued more debt.
We've worked with the controller's office and
balance sheet is up. It'll cost us less, but it'll look like
we've got worse. We've worked with the controller on this issue, and we recognize that there are some true savings to be achieved here, and we feel that, you know, there are actually two series that are in play, and we figure, you know, go for both the full 283. So we're supportive of the effort to the extent that real net present value savings can be achieved with this pension obligation bond. These are bonds that have already been issued, and so it's not necessarily we're incurring, you know, a new liability with respect to that old debt. So we are supportive of the controller's efforts in trying to achieve greater savings.
Okay. And then just a question on the timing. So how does this happen? You must do it simultaneously, right, in order to issue the refunding bond at the same time that you take out these old ones, or how?
Mr. Chairman, yes, you're going to be doing it simultaneously. We actually, as a part of the request, we would be asking to hire an underwriter to function as the tender agent, mm-hmm. and then you also need what's called an information agent to go out and see who are your bondholders that are holding the other bonds, mm-hmm. and see if they're interested in selling. And you have a timing issue there as well, because obviously we want to try and get at the lowest interest rate possible, so you want to move as fast as you can. But you also, in getting an underwriter on board, what we're asking is we issued an RFP less than a year ago for the financing we just did. We'd like to contact those underwriters and ask them to give us estimates, basically, on what it would cost for them to function as a tender agent and an information agent. That would allow us to get someone on board right away, start working with J.P. Morgan on this to see if, in fact, we can achieve mm-hmm. the savings that we're talking about.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. We've heard a lot about this, and it's a little scary. I'm starting to actually try to understand some of this stuff a little bit. But and like we have our experts and underwriters who are all together and with the controller and Ms. Bryant to give us this. I would have liked I thought we're kind of doing reverse. I would have liked to seen your PowerPoint before and how this fits into the entire picture. You're talking about pension obligation bonds coming up in a number 8 in our agenda. I know you got energy bonds and revenue bonds. You want to talk general airport in between. But will you answer kind of the question I'll ask now as far as the overall, you know, strength of our whole pension system here, the strength of the fund, what we're doing and what we've done over the last few years has strengthened that, and the fact the bond market, ironically, I mean, the bond market was up or more percentage when the market was down. Now the market going up, the bond has been, you know, if you look at most investments, you know, your basic market and blue chips and caps and, you know, the equities, I guess what I'm saying, have been going up and the bonds have been flat or down. So I'm wondering how that fits into the whole picture. Or we'd be answering those in number eight, so maybe I shouldn't get ahead of myself.
We'll be talking about that in number eight.
Okay.
I mean, one of the things that we're going to be, I'll be doing a report on the next time, but I have to talk with the actuary a little bit more, as I want to give you an overall status of the savings right now, where we're at with the pension obligation bonds,
like
with
see,
the bond issuances and that. But I have to confirm some things with our outside actuary and where the numbers are. So we'll be talking about where some of the savings are, and then next month I'll give you an idea of where we're at right now. Just to briefly talk about that, in the first year when we issued the pension obligation bonds, we had a 22% return. We had an 11% return the year after that. However, last year we had a 0% return. And that, I'm sorry, in 11 we had a 0% return. In 12, though, we ended up with another 11% return. So overall, from what I'm calculating, you know, by putting the pension obligation bonds, we have about $40 million of additional savings or interest earnings that occurred because we had the pension obligation bonds in there, an additional $40 million. The market has been doing well this year, and we hope it continues, but we'll have to see where things go. But the way you have to look at the whole thing is, you know, we issued the pension obligation bonds, and we're looking at what we would have paid had we not issued the pension bonds, and where we're at with and what we did if we issued it. We indicated, and what the report will indicate in 8, is we saved about $100 million by the issuance and the lower interest rates. We're hoping to take with these, and getting back to this matter, one of the things that we wanted to do is what we did with the $135 million is we made them a lot of it serial bonds. Serial bonds meaning it matures, for example, there is a maturity in 2014, there's a maturity in 2015. Therefore, you can get an interest rate in 2014, which is like 0.25%. And it was like maybe 0.5% for 2015. So by issuing these earlier dates and serializing it and putting them to these years, you can get a much lower interest rate. So what we're thinking that we're going to do with these tender bonds is do the same type of things. These had a maturity of, for example, the $92 million is a maturity in 2024. And what we would do is we would serialize it, in essence, bring it back to like 2014, 2015, 2016, and get the lowest possible rate that we can for interest. For all of those items and get additional savings. And so, you know, the lower we can get the interest rate, the more savings that we can bring back to the county. So that's our intent with this, to also push additional savings.
All right, and I guess I just wanted to mention that, and you know, maybe that full report or share with the press too. I mean, this has nothing to do with downsizing or, you know, what we make as supervisors, but I guess I've been here a little while and I just have taken some umbrage, which I spoke to with some passion, I thought, because I felt very strong about it yesterday. And what, one of the things I, you know, mentioned as a specific from what the board and staff has done right since we get bashed so often. And, you know, your whole office, I mean, the big thing coming out of Madison was, you know, we were one bad contract away from insolvency in this community. And I thought that was so overplayed. And so draconian, so incorrect. Of course, the big shots had their own guy for comptroller, and that guy didn't run. Thank God you got it. You didn't want to be a political person and run for it. But we trusted your, you know, your advice when you were comptroller, and we trusted our audit before. And thank God that you and Jerry have been able to work together. We need that good advice. And you know, I just think that we want to get some information out in fairness to let people know this county has not been mismanaged. This board has not made terrible decisions. Matter of fact, we've made some decisions that have saved us. You're talking about $100 million here. I'd like you to quantify that. If you can't do it today, I'd like to get that information, because I just like to see something, you know, some of the good things. And good things, by I mean, you know, I threw it this down, millions of dollars. Well, you know, it was 10.5 on the insurance. You're talking about $100 million. The moves we made and said correctly, and I don't know where we got this. We were one contract from insolvency, and we look at our pension fund. So I want some specifics on that. You've alluded to some, and, you know, it's not all rosy, and we took some risks, but, you know, I think things have worked out very well. It's because the board had the guts to wait, and, you know, maybe you mentioned about the stabilization fund. I don't think we have to use that, but that was certainly something we had to add. So I'm going to follow up with my contacts from yesterday, so it just wasn't speaking for speaking sake that there's something behind what the board has done, particularly in financial areas, and relying upon and testing and having to verify. So we've got bond counsel today. We've got your office. We've got Pam Bryant's office here, Ms. Bryant's office, that have worked together, administration coming on board and working on it, and that we've done some things, and that we're on solid footing, Milwaukee County government. Thank you.
And Ms. Bryant, before you continue, Mr. Comptroller, Ms. Bryant has been a very moving and valuable force to Milwaukee County for a number of years as the capital finance manager, and we're very appreciative of the work that she's done over the years, if you may, sir.
I was just going to say that, you know, without her efforts on this, plus the efforts of our bond counsel, Chuck Jarrett, Dave Anderson from Public Financial Management, Letitia Davis from Peralta Garcia, and Emil Banks, I mean, without all of their support, then three of them are here today if you have any questions of them, but without, and Justin Rodriguez also. Without any of their support on all of this, I don't think we would have been able to move as quickly on this and moving as quickly as we're trying to with the tendering. Because our whole goal with the tendering and the moving that we have on this is we're trying to keep up with the market and not lose any of the savings that are currently out in the marketplace.
I'm going to move approval to Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Schmidt moves approval of item number 5. Any other comments? Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is the first attempt from our work group in a situation like this. We haven't done this before. Tendering. Have we done tendering before?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, no. This will be the first time the county has done tendering. Tendering isn't something that's typically done by governmental entities. You see it more in the corporate area. But because of the uniqueness of this transaction, tendering is the vehicle that they're using to pay off those funds.
And the initial step is to see if there is savings.
Mr. Chairman,
if not, this will be a $20,000 expense.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, that's correct. There would be no interest in moving forward if we don't have positive net present value savings, and if we don't move forward, the $20,000 would be the cost, and we would be coming back. We would be utilizing an appropriation transfer mechanism to pull money from the contingency to pay for that $20,000 only, because you wouldn't have bond proceeds to actually pay it off at that point.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Anyone else? Seeing no one else wants to speak, Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
On approval, Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Romo West.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Cullen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion approved, 8-0.
And I want to thank your collaborators, your team, for the good work they've done. Thank you very much.
Me too.